but the dark shadow of a beard stubbling his jaw, yet he still seemed somewhat dwarfed in the capacious armchair. Dex resisted the urge to get up and see if the priest's feet reached the carpeted floor.
"It was good of you to see me on such a short notice," DiNardo said in English,
a hint of soft Italian vowels at the ends of his words. Dex made a hospitable smile.
"Not at all, Fa. Monsignor.
Would you like something to drink? Coffee? Something stronger?" DiNardo shook his head.
"Thank you, no. The rocket flight brought me here in half an hour, but my insides are still on Vatican time."
"I see." An uneasy hush fell over them. DiNardo seemed to be fishing for the words he wanted, while Dex fiddled impatiently with his fingers, waiting for the priest to start talking. "Does he know about my negotiations with Kinnear?" Dex wondered nervously. "No, he can't. Raleigh can keep his mouth shut. I haven't even mentioned it to the Navajo president yet." At last, Dex broke the silence.
"I saw the video show you did with Orlando Ventura."
"That abomination," DiNardo spat.
"You held up your end pretty well," said Dex. "They had no interest in the importance of the Martian fossil. They belittled the greatest find since Lucy."
"They're not interested in science, that's for sure."
"No, they want to deny it all."
Dex nodded agreement.
"Then, we're working to put together a documentary about the fossil. A real documentary, not a circus. I would be glad to participate in it if you feel I could be of help."
"Certainly. Will the Vatican..." DiNardo caught Dex's implication.
"The Holy See will have no objection. Not everyone who believes in God is blindly anti-science."
"I'm glad to hear that. We're up to our eyeballs in fundamentalists."
"There are factions within the Vatican, to be sure," DiNardo admitted easily. "But they have not affected the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, I assure you."
"Not yet," Dex thought.
Aloud, he mused, "You could be a very important voice in our documentary. You could show that there's no real conflict between science and religion."
DiNardo hesitated, then said merely,
"I will be glad to do what I can."
"Great. I'll tell the people producing the show to count you in."
"Buono," said DiNardo.
Then he went on.
"Now I must ask a favor of you."
"Here it comes," Dex said to himself.
"A favor?" "I wish to go to Mars."
Dex blinked at the priest. "Go to Mars? You?" With a self-deprecating little smile, DiNardo said,
"I am a trained geologist. I was selected to be the lead geologist on the first expedition, if you remember."
"I know, but that was more than 20 years ago."
"I am not quite an invalid. In fact, I am in very good health."
"But you're what? 55? 60?
57. Jamie Waterman is almost 50. Carter Carlton is 63. I won't be the oldest fossil on Mars."
Dex acknowledged the priest's little joke with a forced smile.
"I will undergo the most rigorous physical examinations your program can subject me to," DiNardo said before Dex could think of anything to say. "Of course, with the fusion torch ships, the trip to Mars is much easier than it was 20-some years ago."
"Yes, but why..." DiNardo lifted his round chin and let out a sigh.
"I want to help. I believe that having a priest go to Mars might help to counter the voices speaking against the program.
You know that we might have to shut down the whole shebang and bring everybody home."
"I'm aware of that. I believe that my going to Mars could help you gain more donors to keep the program funded."
Dex couldn't help grinning. "You want to be the Mars poster boy?" Perfectly serious, DiNardo replied,
"If it will help."
Tithonium Base, Jamie's office. Jamie's little cubicle was crowded with both Carlton and Chang in it. Jamie could feel the tension crackling between the two men. Not good, he told himself. These two have to work together if we're going to get anywhere. Dr. Chang sat in the stiff plastic chair in front of Jamie's fold-up desk. Carlton had dragged in a rolling chair made of bungee cords from the adjoining cubicle. It filled the entrance to Jamie's office. There was no room to get it further into the cramped workspace.
I have considered your request of staying past my regular term of service, Chang was saying, his stubby arms crossed on his chest, his back to Carlton.
Jamie waited for the other shoe.
I will remain here as long as necessary, as mission director.
Carlton said, I thought you had family that you wanted to get back to.
I have wife and son in Beijing,
Chang replied, without turning to look at the anthropologist.
However, my duty is plainly here.
I'm glad you've decided, Jamie said, with a slow smile. I know Dr. Carlton intends to remain, too.
Damned right, said Carlton. I will remain mission director, Chang repeated.
It was a demand, not a question.
Yes, certainly, answered Jamie.
Your experience will be very valuable to all of us.
Carlton said nothing.
I've talked with almost everyone here, Jamie said. Most of them are willing to extend their stays.
Several wish to leave, Chang said.
Nodding, Jamie replied, that's all right. We need some interchange of personnel. We can't expect to freeze everyone in their places.
We need geologists, Chang said. We should send excursion team to South Pole.
We won't be able to do that, Jamie interrupted. We just don't have the resources.
Undeterred, Chang went on. South Pole is conundrum. It is shrinking. Millions of tons of frozen carbon dioxide go into gaseous state each year. Gaseous carbon dioxide produces greenhouse effect in atmosphere.
Carlton grunted. Some greenhouse. Temperatures are still below freezing.
But getting warmer, Chang countered. Yet humidity in atmosphere is decreasing. Warmer atmosphere should support higher humidity level, not lower.
Conundrum. I agree, it's an important problem, Jamie said. But we just don't have the resources to send the team to the South Pole.
Then there is ancient riverbed in valley here, Chang said. Mapping course of riverbed is important.
The satellites are doing that with deep radar, said Carlton. What we really need are more grunts to help excavate the village.
Chang insisted. There must be other villages along course of riverbed.
Carlton smiled easily and rolled his chair slightly to Chang's right so he could see the mission director's face.
Isn't there an old Chinese proverb to the effect that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush?
Chang inched away from him.
Carlton went on. We have a village to excavate. As I understand it, the Foundation people in Boston are putting together a video documentary about it, which they hope to use to raise more funds for us. I think all our efforts should be put into digging out this village.
Chang tried to hide his scowl, failed.
There is more to be done than your one village.
Before Carlton could reply, Jamie jumped in.
You're both right. There's an enormous number of things that we've got to do. But the village is very important. The question we have to settle is how much of our resources we should put into the village and how much elsewhere.
Tracing riverbed course, said Chang.
Studying water geysers and underground heat flow. South polar melting.
My village will bring new money into our program, Carlton insisted. You'll never get to the South Pole without an influx of new funding.
Village is important, Chang conceded. But it is not only thing we must consider.
Right, Jamie agreed. Personally, I'd like to see more effort put into decoding the writing up in the cliff dwellings.
They weren't dwellings, Carlton said. A religious center, more likely.
I'd still like to know what those symbols mean. With a shake of his head, Carlton argued,
forget about it.
Forget it?
It's a forlorn hope, Jamie. The best philologists in the world have cracked their skulls on those symbols. It's useless.
But I know. People have deciphered ancient languages, Sumerian, Cretan, Linear B, Sanskrit,
Proto-Chinese, Chang added.
Yes, but in every case they found a Rosetta Stone of one kind or another, a relic where the unknown language was written down side by side with a known one, so the philologists could translate from the known language to the unknown.
Chang nodded reluctantly.
There's no Rosetta Stone on Mars. The Martian writings are completely alien. There's no known language that we can translate from. We'll never understand their writing.